Delighted to be joined by Rachel Furness, project lead for Dying to Talk at McIntyre. Rachel, how are you?
I'm absolutely fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Lovely to talk to you. Now, we check in with McIntyre fairly regularly on MKFM. I think people fairly familiar at this stage with the work of McIntyre. But tell us about Dying to Talk and what that project is about.
So McIntyre was granted funding for a project around 18 months ago, and it was to open conversations up around death and dying and people to choose what they want, basically at end of life. And we actually was granted this funding, and it started to roll out around, say 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously when COVID first appeared on the scene, and the pandemic. So the country actually went into lockdown straight away when we actually got the funding, so we had to quickly adapt our approach. And our approach at first was to go into services and talk to people, supported their family and support staff, and obviously that could not happen. Mm-hmm. So the project then was put into pilot areas, so we was based in Derbyshire, Worcestershire, Leicestershire and Herefordshire, and we quickly learned how to use Zoom, as everybody did back then. Mm-hmm. And people supported was given Zoom sessions, and their families was invited to Zoom sessions, and their staff was given Zoom sessions, three-hour training sessions on end-of-life care, what to expect when people were dying, because the staff just did not feel comfortable in that area. And McIntyre, being as good as they are, actually said, yep, well, that's obviously an issue, let's sort that out.
Why is it important that people talk about death and end of life?
I think it's extremely important, not only for people who we're working with at the minute with learning disabilities, but why should they not get the chance to talk about what they want? Just because they've got a learning disability doesn't mean that they're any different to anybody else. Mm. We've spoken to people who want bright red coffins with glitter on them. We've spoken to people who...
Great!
Yeah, exactly. We've spoken to somebody who very adamantly did not want to be cremated. And after speaking to his staff, and fortunately this isn't McIntyre service, but we spoke to their members of staff, and they said, oh, he's got cremation down on his records. I'm like, yeah, he doesn't want to be cremated. Right. He finds that more scarier than being buried. Mm-hmm. And this project has actually opened up the conversations around death and what people actually want, because it is such a taboo subject in English.
Yeah, of course. And before the start of this project, did you find that, you know, families that maybe had sadly lost a loved one actually weren't sure what they would prefer for afterlife?
Oh, definitely, yes. People just did not know what... It got to the point where people died and they thought, oh, I think they want this, or I think they want that. And people was just more upset that they didn't know what they wanted. And yeah, if these conversations had happened earlier on, and I'm not just talking people in the 50s and 60s. I'm 34 and I'm starting to plan for my death. And I think it's very important to start earlier on in life, so people have got a really good idea of what somebody would want.
Mm. Is it a hard conversation to have?
I think I joined the project in January when we started mainly talking to people supported and their families. And yes, starting the conversation is really hard, because you want to say, you know, when you've lost somebody, and people just, why, where are they gone? Can I go there? And it's using terminology that people will understand.
Yeah.
So very on the first conversation you have with somebody, you have to say, if they say, I have lost somebody, say, yes, they have died. And really drill that in just a little bit, that they have died. How do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And getting the terminology right, yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And what's the response been like from people with whom you've had these conversations?
But to be fair, the people who have got a learning disability have really opened up. They have really spoke to me. They've been really confident. They know what they want. It's the families and staff that sometimes feel, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Let's just wrap people up in bubble wrap just that
little bit.
And the people supported are well away. I'm known as either the death lady or the grim reaper when I walk into services now.
Affectionately, I hope.
Oh, yeah. I kind of go into services and I go, Rachel, I've lost somebody. What do you mean they've died? Yes, they've died. Can I talk to you? Like, yeah, of course you can.
Oh, that's nice that they're engaging with it in that way then. Yeah, that's good.
It's just amazing to see the turn in people's approach now. The staff are really opening up a lot more to people supported. It's not just one of those things, somebody are coming into the day services or supported living houses and they've lost somebody, somebody's died. And people go, oh, well, you're here now, let's do this instead. It's not shrugged off anymore. It's very much, well, let's talk about that. Do you want to talk about that? Is there anything we can help with?
Yeah.
And that is such a change in people's approach. It's amazing to see that shift in just a short amount of time.
Absolutely. Yeah. A difficult conversation, like you say, but an essential one and a necessary one to be had. So you said back during the pandemic, you sort of shifted and everything moved on to Zoom. It's more in person now. What's the future of the project looking like?
So we are looking for further funding for the project now, because obviously the original funding bid has ended, and we want to actually open this up to the whole of McIntyre. Not only McIntyre, but we're wanting to train more outside professionals, so more GPs. We have been involved with GP practices. We have been involved with social workers and things like that. So we're wanting to train more outside professionals as well. So we are looking for further funding for that. And hopefully we'll be able to roll this out both in Milton Keynes, up north in the Wirral, and just the whole of the UK. Hopefully we'll be able to roll this out within McIntyre Services.
Oh, fingers crossed. Well, it sounds like a fantastic project and a really great thing to be doing. How can people find out more about the Dying to Talk project?
So if you access our webpage, it's www.mcintyrecharity.org. There is a section under our approach, which is Dying to Talk, and we've got some fantastic resources. We've got some amazing blogs. We've got three consultants that have been working alongside us, and there's a lot of information on our webpage for that. We have got a video which we had professionally made, which just shows our approach. It's not sitting somebody around a table saying, right, let's talk about death. There is fun and innovative ways that we do talk to people. We have a lot of squishy balls. We have choice cards. People can leave whenever they want. And all that information is actually on our webpage. And again, if anybody wants any more information whatsoever, they can email us. It is health.team@mcintyrecharity.org. And we will gladly help anybody where we can.
Fantastic. Rachel Furness is project lead for Dying to Talk at McIntyre. Rachel, a fantastic project. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Bye.